Enjoy early access to ad-free episodes each week when you subscribe to Wedding Planning Podcast Premium in Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the show. This week, we're continuing our conversation on wedding flowers, and I have all of your wedding flower questions answered. That's coming up next on the Wedding Planning Podcast. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Wedding Planning Podcast, and thank you, as always, so much for carving out a few moments of your day to spend here with me talking about all things wedding. Last week, I shared 5 tips for success if you're considering doing some or all of your own wedding flower arrangements. We went shopping together at a floral wholesaler to get a feel for availability and price points, and you learned exactly how to source and design professional-worthy flowers and centerpiece decor for a fraction of the price of actually working with a professional. This week, I have an inbox full of your wedding flower questions, and I also put together a list of the top wedding flower mistakes that I see couples make, so stay tuned for that later on. Let's get right into it, shall we, with a great question about how much should 5 relatively simple bouquets cost? I'm being quoted over $1,200, which feels so ridiculous. All right, I immediately bumped this question up to the top of the show because it's really important to understand what goes into a floral price tag and any other vendor for that matter. Last week, we talked all about buying flower stems wholesale, and I shared a bunch of examples that were about $1 per stem. So how on earth do we get from $1 per stem to $260 for a simple bouquet? Let me tell you. So first off, the florist needs to cover their costs, in this case, about $1 per stem, plus pins, ribbons, foam, packaging. Then they need to pay for a business license, insurance, and taxes to run their floral business. They also need to pay themselves and their employees, and hopefully pay them a living wage. Then they need to pay for their workspace rent, electricity, which if you can imagine, electricity is going to be a pretty significant cost if you're running a 300 square foot refrigerator, literally 24/7. This floral business owner also needs to put gas in all of their delivery trucks, not getting the best mileage per gallon would be my guess. And then they also need to pay to register and maintain those trucks. They need drivers to drive the trucks. You get the idea. I am personally a small business owner, so I appreciate all of this in a really, really close and personal way. And when you think about that list of basic expenses, that $260 price tag is justified pretty quickly. So when we talk about doing things on our own versus working with a professional, you are trading your time for money. If you are someone who happens to have more time than money, then that's a great trade. If you have the opposite problem and you're working 80 hours a week as a doctor or an attorney and making plenty of money, then you probably have more money than time. And if that's you, then 9 times out of 10, paying someone else to do all this work for you is the way to go. And I'll just reiterate that point. As a small business owner myself with a family and a mortgage and school tuition and car payments, grocery, cable, electric bills, on and on and on, I would never criticize a small business for charging what they need to charge to cover their expenses and also to be compensated for their craft. Okay, we cannot underestimate that. But when you have more time than money, as a bride or a groom, as someone planning your wedding, then paying $1 per stem for wholesale flowers and arranging them yourself, that's a great option. But I wanted to highlight this whole point because I do want to respect the small business owners out there, like myself, who are charging a fair price to be compensated again for their expenses and also for their craft. All right, moving away from Small Business 101, how early should we pick and arrange our flowers so that they are still fresh? For a little bit more background, the person who sent this one in has a farm nearby where they live with lots of wildflowers, and you can go to the farm and pick the flowers, which sounds so fun. She's wanting to do this with her bridesmaids and just wondering how soon can we go pick them before the wedding day so that they stay fresh. So this is a really smart question because you want to leave as little as possible to have to do in the final day or days before your wedding. And so that does make flowers kind of a tricky project. You want to pick, buy, and arrange them as far in advance as possible without sacrificing their health and their beauty. And that, my friend, is easier said than done. So what we do now, how do we find that perfect balance? We have to test it out. There are no shortcuts here. There is no one-size-fits-all magical formula for doing your own wedding flowers. You have to test it out yourself. There are so many variables that go into this, I can't even begin to name them all. And for this specific example, I am not a wildflower expert. I don't know what the climate is like where this person lives. Every flower has a different vase life after it's been picked. So again, my best advice is to do at least minimum of one full trial run from start to finish in the month or two before your wedding so that you can see for yourself how the flowers look after 1, 2, 5 days, a week, or maybe even more after you have picked them. Some flowers open up and relax after they've been picked, for example, roses. And with roses, it's actually beneficial to wait for them to get softer and fuller and to open up more. They look more and more beautiful with every day. When I do roses, I can get a bunch of tight roses. I'll put them in a vase for 7 to 10 days, and they still look perfect, and they've almost tripled in size and make for an absolutely beautiful bouquet. But again, the humidity, the temperature, the varietal of roses, that's all going to vary from me to you to the next person. Other types of flowers, especially wildflowers, they might wilt and get droopy literally the next day. And then again, temperature, weather, season, all of that, all of those are variables that we can't control. So testing how the flower behaves in certain weather conditions and time conditions is something that you have to consider. So the bottom line here is that doing your own flowers is not a project that you can just willy-nilly wake up and decide to tackle in the final week or days right before your wedding. You need to be organized. You need to have a realistic plan. You ideally should have at least a couple of other people who are helping you with all of this. And then you must have 1 to 2 practice runs start to finish to get all the kinks worked out in the weeks ahead so that you know and can be prepared for exactly what to expect. And when I say a practice run, obviously you don't need to go out and buy 500 stems of roses because that's how many you plan on buying for the wedding. One bouquet would be plenty. The important thing is that you know how that exact type of flower is going to behave and how long it's going to last. And next, very closely related question, how much time should we allocate to this project in the day or two before our wedding? So when you follow the guidelines that we've reviewed these past couple of shows, you'll know the importance of keeping it simple. So you've done the trial runs, you're using flowers ideally that are sturdy and hardy. So examples of that, roses, hydrangeas, greenery. With 1 to 2 trial runs with a simple arrangement of flowers, this should not take you more than 10 to 15 minutes to gather, trim, and finish off the stems with floral tape per bouquet or per centerpiece. But to repeat a point that I made in the last answer, this is not something that you can just decide to tackle last minute and then get frustrated and stressed out and say that I told you it would only take 10 to 15 minutes to do. Okay, so it only takes 10 to 15 minutes per bouquet when you put a ton of thought and effort into the pre-planning aspects. And when you're organized and you have a team of people helping you and you have an overall realistic vision, and those are the things that we've discussed at length in these past two flower shows. Here's a comment from a bride who got married last year, and she said putting the bouquets together was so stressful and annoying, and it took up the entire day before our wedding. Until you do it yourself, you will never realize the amount of work and talent that goes into flowers. So my comments and response there is yes, if you're trying to recreate an elaborate bouquet that you found on Pinterest that has eight different kinds of flowers and elaborate satin wrapping around the handle, then that is definitely going to be stressful and annoying. But if you're okay with keeping it simple, I think that doing some or even all of your own flowers is an amazing return on the investment of your time and a very high quality end product for a very affordable price tag. Next question, can you think of any downsides to ordering flowers online? We're considering Costco, but the prices seem too good to be true. Fair. And yes, the biggest downside from a site like Costco or any other big box site is that you're going to have a pretty narrow selection when it comes to the availability and different types of flowers. If possible, I would always recommend getting on the phone with their flower customer support and getting some solid advice for working with the specific bouquets or specific flower stems that you're looking at. Costco specifically does have a dedicated phone number and email address for flower orders, and I'll link to more info in the show notes and also in the blog post for today's show. I'm not going to rattle off phone numbers and email addresses here. The next beauty of Costco is that their customer service philosophy is so generous that I would feel really confident knowing that they would be happy to work with you if anything goes drastically wrong. And honestly, there are risks of things being unavailable, out of stock, delayed, undeliverable, you name it, all aspects of planning your wedding, not just with flowers. And then all that being said, and working in another listener question, they wonder the best way to guarantee the availability of white roses for our bouquets and centerpieces. Well, I can say that I was on Costco right before I recorded this show, and they do have white roses available right now today as I'm recording this. They also have very beautiful pre-made centerpieces and bouquets in all white, for what it's worth. However, to be perfectly blunt, the worldwide floral trade does not care that you have to have white roses at your wedding. And the truth is that things like weather events, staffing challenges, pests, trade shutdowns, global upheaval, anything can happen. And any of these events are incredibly unfortunate, and they are also outside of anyone's control. Fresh flowers are fragile, they are often in short supply and high demand, and they are very time and weather sensitive. So I can unfortunately report that there is not anyone on earth who can guarantee that you will definitely be able to have white roses at your wedding. And this is also a good time to mention that having a spirit of flexibility and understanding that things might not go exactly as planned is a huge asset if you're planning on doing some or all of your own flowers. And then beyond the big box wholesale stores, there are other online flower sites like 50 Flowers is one, and they offer a beautiful variety of wholesale-ish priced stems. So these range from anywhere about $1.40 to about $2 each. So they're not as cheap as the Costco or the wholesale warehouse option. They are a bit more pricey, but you're going to find 1,000% more variety and color options. So that might be a great option for you if this is all something that you're considering looking into further. I will link in today's show notes to that resource. All right, we definitely want to do flower bouquets for me and bridesmaids and a simple flower on the guys' jackets, but do you have any ideas for creative centerpieces that are more affordable than flowers? Yes, I do. I have an entire show dedicated to creative and affordable centerpiece options. And if you would like to listen to that show, you can scroll back to June of 2023. And that show will be available for at least a few more months if you're listening to this live, and also for a written recap and visuals from that centerpiece show. I'll link to a blog post in the show notes. Susan's Travel Services is so excited to partner with you to plan your honeymoon, destination wedding, or maybe even your bachelor or bachelorette party. Susan and her team have been planning dream vacations for 27 years, and they are truly the best in the business for start-to-finish planning services. Travel and new experiences are incredibly special to me, and Susan and her team have helped me plan some unforgettable vacations, including a bachelorette party in Cabo and a family anniversary celebration in Cancun. They meticulously researched the best all-inclusive options for us based on some very specific priorities, and the professional assistance in choosing location, resort, activities, and transportation was absolutely priceless. From all-inclusive resorts in Mexico and the Caribbean, overwater bungalows in the Maldives, or that African safari that you've always dreamed of, save yourself hours of research and guesswork and let Susan and her team find you the best options for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation. Reach out to Susan and her team today by emailing info@susanstravelservices.com. And be sure to let her know that I sent you and get $50 off your final booking or $200 off your destination wedding. Her email one more time is info@susanstravelservices.com. For the second half of today's show, we're going to run down a list of the top wedding flower mistakes that I see couples make time and time again. I've been producing and hosting this show for 8 years, which is a really, really long time. So I have been interacting with listeners like you for 8 amazing years. It's been so fun. The same themes and the same troubles and the same problems and the same mistakes, they tend to come up over and over again. And wedding flowers is no exception. So let's go down this list so that you can avoid these top wedding flower mistakes. And mistake number one is that couples ignore the flowers that are in season. This kind of reminds me of the must-have white roses for our wedding. Flowers don't grow by our schedule. They grow in the season that they were intended by Mother Nature to grow. And I will link to a great article that outlines all the flowers for all the months so that you can look at what month your wedding is scheduled for and get a great idea of what flowers will be in season. Selecting from those flowers will give you a much higher chance of success, especially if you're considering doing things yourself. And choosing flowers that are in season will also do wonders for your overall bill. Choosing flowers that are in season is immeasurably more affordable than trying to source flowers that are not in season. And then the next mistake couples make is overlooking service and delivery fees when working with a florist. Now, there is nothing worse than an unexpected service fee or a tax on a multiple $1,000 vendor bill. So do yourselves a favor and be prepared ahead of time for any and all service fees. And this includes delivery fees, driver tips, and taxes that might be hidden in your contract. Something related here is couples will often use their flower arrangements twice, once for the ceremony and then again for reception decorations. And that is a really smart and very thrifty, very heads up move, but just be aware that transporting everything from point A to point B will likely carry a price tag. And that would be in addition to the initial delivery fee that you're paying. So just make sure that you have eyes wide open to all the charges in total. And our next flower mistake is having unrealistic expectations given your budget. This could probably apply to many, many things other than flowers, right? So as we have probably all become aware of by now, flowers are very expensive. And the flower setups that are showcased on social media and on wedding websites, so where you have flowers hanging from the ceiling, you have garlands that are winding up the columns, a full-blown ceremony archway, we are talking tens of thousands of dollars to create a look like that. So for the average person, a modest floral budget of $1,000 or $2,000 or even $3,000, I am sorry to say that what that money will get you versus those images that I just described is going to be pretty underwhelming. This will come as no surprise to you if you've been listening to this show and the one from last week. But if it were me personally, and of course I'm speaking in generalizations here, I would take $1,000 to a local farmer's market or a flower wholesaler, and I would do a very simple DIY approach versus working with a florist, just because you're going to get so much more bang for your buck. And this is a big one, big mistake, trying to do your own flowers, but biting off more than you can chew. Now, doing your own flowers is obviously a huge topic. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks, and I am incredibly passionate about this topic. I just think it's relatively easy to do if you keep it simple. So that's the caveat. Things snowball and start to go downhill very, very quickly when you try to do too much, you try to bite off more than you can chew. When you're seeing a beautiful bouquet on Pinterest that has 12 different varieties and 8 different colors, and you're trying to recreate it perfectly, that just doesn't typically come out the way you want it to in your imagination. I'm not saying it can't, it surely can. But for the average person who doesn't place a ton of priority on having like show-stopping professional quality flowers, if you keep it simple, that's always the best approach. And then second part here, just because I didn't really work it into the first part of my answer to this, biting off more than you can chew can also just literally mean volume. So if you are trying to make 12 bouquets for 12 bridesmaids and then have 25 centerpieces, and you're trying to do that between 2 or 3 of you in the day before the wedding, that definitely falls into the biting off more than you can chew category. That's too many arrangements. I don't know where you would store all of those flowers. I don't know how you would transport all of those flowers. Maybe you have a plan, and I hope you do. And if you do, that's awesome. But again, for the average person who just wants to create some simple flowers, that's going to be too much going on. If you have 3 bouquets or 5 bouquets and 5 tables or 10 tables, that's fine. Just be aware of volume as you kind of start to tackle this project. Okay, so that, my friend, is going to wrap it up for today and for our 2-part series on all things flowers. I hope you've loved our conversations over the past couple of weeks, and I will be sure to post some pictures, videos, and links on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram by searching up Wedding Planning Podcast, all one word. And I will also put a link to some recap blog posts and all other resources that we talked about in today's show notes. Thank you so much, as always, for being here with me this week. We will meet again next week, same time, same place. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Wedding Planning Podcast. For episode recaps and special offers, visit our website at wedpodcast.com. There you'll also find a link to submit your wedding questions and future show topic requests. Follow us wherever you listen for new episodes every Wednesday. And if you're loving the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating and review to share your favorite episodes and thoughts with other couples. Wishing you a happy engagement. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of it. And we'll talk again next week, same time, same place.